It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio today and with a wonderful guest for you again. Well, look, welcome to today's episode and welcome to International Coaching Week. All over the country, all over the world, coaching organizations are hosting various events this week to introduce people to coaching, make them more aware of it, and it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to a meeting this evening for the Orange County chapter, and we'll be on a platform with two other wonderful coaches, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I'd tell you all about it, but it's probably too late for you to get there now. So anyhow, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and our guest for today is Jennifer Deepstratton, and her topic is three keys to double your fees and fill your business with high-quality content clients. Jennifer wants to know if you're ready to increase your fees without having to give more and have a business full of clients you love. She's going to show us how to get on the fast path to cash and quadruple our income with strategy session conversations that really work and feel great. Well, let me give you a little background about Jennifer before we bring her on, because she won't tell you all these wonderful things about herself. She has 20 years experience in sales, relationship coaching, and communication studies, so she understands what it really takes to inspire people to take decisive action. As a result of her expertise, she's sold over $14 million in products in 10 years in corporate sales, working with world-leading multi-million and multi-billion dollar biotech and medical equipment companies. She left her highly lucrative corporate sales job to start her own business teaching high-end sales and sales training to coaches, trainers, healers, and niche service providers. Her one-call blueprint consultation system enabled her to triple her fees in her own heart-centered entrepreneurial endeavor in less than 6 months. I have to think about that again. Triple her fees in less than 6 months. Don't hang up now. This is going to be a good one. And to grow her sales coaching company to a multi-six-figure business in less than 2 years. The system she's created and teaches her students has enabled her to create a lifestyle business that's allowed her husband to retire from his career in home construction. I need to have my wife listen to this show and work full-time with Jennifer. Jennifer holds a degree from Vassar College, a master's of science in traditional oriental medicine, lives in Southern California with her husband and three sons. Jennifer, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Really excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, sales is a topic none of us ever can stop learning about. It's always a challenge, and it's particularly a challenge for me. So I'm glad you're here. In fact, before we went on the air, I think I have picked up a lot of really good tips on sales from Jennifer just talking about what we're going to talk about. So,
excellent.
Well, look, tell us a little bit about what you did prior to your current business. I know I covered the highlights, but...
Yeah, so when I was younger, I'm not going to say how long ago it was, but when I got out of college, I was a shy person, and I went into sales in a company, in a biotech company, because it was literally the scariest thing I could think of to do. You know, some people jump out of airplanes, some people go bungee jumping. I went into a field where I had to talk to strangers and get them to buy stuff. And that's how I entered into my sales career. I thought, you know, I've got to learn how to present myself, talk about what I do, and in essence, sell things. And if I know how to do that, I can really do anything.
Yeah, I would buy that. But you sure took on a challenge.
Yeah, it was scary. I moved to a town I'd never been to, and I did a job I didn't know how to do. And I was working with these really high-level scientists and at the university and some of the larger corporation, like biotech companies. And over, you know, at first it was really challenging. And then over a number of years, I realized that if I learned how to ask the right questions, they would actually sell themselves right into what I had.
So you don't believe in high-pressure sales?
I'm like anti high pressure sales. Yeah, and really over the years of being in a corporate environment, I always work with scientists, doctors, veterinarians, medical people. I realized that sales is, you know, there's this adage in sales that says it's about the relationship. It's about relationship selling.
Right.
And I never really knew what that meant. And I used to watch people take, you know, other salespeople would take their customers to happy hour or to the ball game. And, you know, I'm an introverted person. So that was never my thing. And I was like, I don't know about this whole schmoozing and whatever that rapport thing is. It wasn't really for me. And over the years, I realized that what I really wanted to know was about them as people. I wanted to empower them. I wanted to know, I wanted to present my product if it was the best possible product they could spend their money on. And I wanted them to buy it if it was the right one, but I didn't want them to buy it if it wasn't. And so over time, I was able to develop relationships where people would say to me, hey, you know, Jennifer, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I've never told anybody. Come into my office. And what it translated to is at the end of the year, I would get the phone call. Hey, you know, we've got $50,000 left in our budget. What have you got that we can buy?
Wow.
And that's when sales really got fun and easy. And I would have to say it was really in alignment with who I am and who I was I really wanted to serve. And for me, that's what sales is. It's really about serving people.
Well, you know, I love that you make that distinction between entertaining clients and developing a relationship with clients. Two totally different things. And in my book, and it sounds like in yours, developing the relationship where we get to know one another is far more important than my taking you to some event.
That's what my clients thought, you know, and I'm sure, you know, not that I never took them out, but
no.
That wasn't the way. It was really about creating a deeper relationship and really being on their side, regardless of whether or not they were buying something from me.
Okay. Well, tell us about your business today. What do you do? Who do you do it for? How do you sell to your customers? How do you find your clients?
Yeah. So what I do now is I left the corporate environment about 4 years ago, and I had this amazing opportunity to share my knowledge with people who, the people that I serve, really want to make a difference. Like, their primary driver is that they're socially conscious, or they're doing some kind of conscious business. They have a mission to change the world, really, a lot of my customers. And so I thought, what better way for me to use my talent and my skill than to really help those people who have this tremendous expertise? Maybe they've spent 10 or 20 or 30 years developing their expertise, but they haven't spent that time learning how to sell. And if they don't get to sell, if they don't get their value communicated to their buyer, and they don't do a transaction where they trade the money for the service, then they don't get to do their work.
Right.
So that's my business now. And we're an internet-based company, meaning most of the people I meet with, we meet virtually. We meet either on phone or over like a virtual conference line where we can see, like, a video conference line.
So I'm honored that I get to meet you in person then.
Yeah. See, I don't go out of my house all that often, Doug.
Hey. I'm really honored.
No, and so I do go out a bit, but most of the time we're meeting virtually. And so I have customers in Canada and Europe and all over North America.
Who is your typical customer?
Yeah, most of my customers are coaches, some kind of expert, like maybe like yourself. You know, you have a lot of expertise and now you're consulting or coaching. People that have a niche service that they don't necessarily know how to describe as unique. You know, what I do is, my company is High Ticket Sales Success. So I'm really teaching people, how do you differentiate yourself from the rest of the pack? And how do you communicate why your service is better or different and worth more than someone else who might seem to do the same thing on the surface, but obviously they're not the same?
Talk to me a minute about the difference in your process or in training salespeople between somebody who sells an intangible, like a service, and somebody who sells a I can touch it, feel it kind of product.
Yeah. So, you know, I come from a product-driven industry. I used to sell equipment.
Yeah.
But also there are services. But a lot of the skills can be used in either way. You know, what I teach can be used for products or for services. The fun part about services, because they are intangible, the value is only, it's almost 100% communicated via words, by language. because it's not tangible. So, you know, I used to sell microscopes. I used to sell laser scanning microscopes for a living, you know, like room sized things, big stuff. And I had smaller ones too that would sit on your desktop. But I also had, you know, room sized microscopes. And so, you know, the scientists would look and how many microns is it and how many lumens is it? And they could compare technical specs. That's a tangible piece. But there's this whole intangible part, which is so important, which is how do you convey the value in real terms to the end user of that spec, of that specification? And when you're talking about coaching services or consulting services or even web design or branding or logo, you know, there is some tangibility to it, but you can't point to a specific specification and say why it's better. So the communication of why it's better, it's boiled down to how do you talk about it? Are you saying what you need to say to really show why it's better?
You know, and the funny thing is you talk about that as if it was a positive, and I think about that as if it's a negative, you know? I mean, you're excited that, hey, the value is only created with the words we're going to use, and I'm going, oh, there's no way to really determine the value.
Yeah, and that's why my work exists, and that's why I get so excited, because the fun part about services is that the value is just what you say. It really is. You can charge $500, you can charge $5,000, you could charge $50,000, and it's all determined in how you create the value for your customer in your customer's mind.
Okay. Well, look, before we get into our talk, there's a question we ask all of our guests, so I'll ask you that now, and that is, what is your guiding principle? What holds you true on course all the time?
Yeah, so I thought about this a bit, and this is actually in my family, with my husband, with my kids, with my friends, and it's also in our company. It's our company foundation, and we call it Empowering Partnership. And what that means is that I am here to not serve like a waiter or a maid, but serve like I am here to support you in being the highest and best version of yourself.
No wonder you've been in the coaching business.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sales is kind of like coaching. It's helping people to step into that bigger thing.
Well, look, one more thing before we get into our topic, in case people get torn away, how do people find you? How do they get a hold of you? What's the name of your book?
Yeah, so the best way, if you're loving what I'm talking about, I wrote a book. It's an ebook. You can download it, and it's a free download for your people, Doug, and you can find it at highticketsellingbook.com, and that's H-I-G-H, highticketsellingbook.com. And it's called The High Ticket Selling Revolution. 9 secrets to increase your fees and magnetize your ideal clients who want to hire you before ever meeting you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I will download tonight. I will make sure that we put that on the podcast. And thank you very much for offering that to our listeners.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Good. And other than that, how do they get a hold of you? That's your book. How do they find you?
Yeah. So the best way to follow me now is on Facebook.
Okay.
And my business page is High Ticket Sales.
And you know what? I have to ask you, because I can't think of another guest that directed business solicitations, contacts, relationships to their Facebook page. I mean, we all have one, but like that's where mom looks at the pictures and grandma says funny things and... But that's your primary direction.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, why?
You're going to love this story, Doug. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'll tell you. We have built a multi-six-figure coaching business without a website.
Oh, boy. That's just not. You know, luckily you've got some credibility with me, because I really wouldn't believe that of most people.
Right. And so, I'll tell you, I have had other businesses where I built the website first and I did the logo and the branding. And something happened when I started High Ticket Sales Success. It really came because my friends were asking me to teach them how to sell. And I was saying to them, well, I don't need to teach you. It's sort of obvious, isn't it? And they're like, no, it's not obvious. And I really woke up one day when a friend of mine who's an entrepreneur, she said, I'm sending you money. I want to spend the day with you. And I said, what do you want to learn? And she said, I just know that you know stuff that I need to know. So, and of course, so she paid me. I did this day with her, and then she immediately doubled her fees, so she was over the moon.
Wow.
And that happened three or four times before I finally clued in and realized that people, that this was my genius and that people wanted me to teach this. And so when we built our business, I say we built it in 9 days, meaning I thought, because I'd already been in the online space and I'd already built websites for other companies, I thought, what do I really need? And this is actually what I teach my clients now. What do I really need to be in business? I need a way to reach people so that they know I have something to offer, and I need to be able to have a sales conversation, and then I need to be able to deliver what I promised. And so we, within 9 days, we only created the bare minimum. When I say we, it's me and my husband. He's the chief operations officer in my company. We built a page where people could download a free gift so people could learn about me. I created a talk so that I could go out and speak. And I had a page where people could apply to talk to me. And within 9 days, we had our first customer.
Well, I have to tell you, as I was getting ready, because you and I had not met before the show, other than virtually, I was looking at your address and it goes, okay, this is the link to Facebook. And I'm going, okay, that's good, but I want to find her professional site. So I finally figured out from your email address, highticketsales.com. And I go there and I'm going, where's the about page? There's no about page on here.
Yeah, high ticket sales.
It just threw me.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, highticketsalessuccess.com was my very first page. It still works. Essentially, you can apply to have a conversation with me on that page. It's a sales breakthrough strategy session where we take a look at we take a look at what is missing in your business, in your sales process specifically, because that's my area of expertise, and we take a look at your sales process and see what's missing, that if you were able to fix that or make that better, you'd get the biggest bang for your buck. Now, we are building a website now.
Now.
But, I've been so focused on who is my customer, how do I communicate my value, and how do I serve them? And finally, now we're building a website.
You know, take a lesson here, audience. How many of us, how many of you have spent your time building your back office rather than building your front office that collects the revenue? Well, I think we just heard which way we should go. Well, look, we're going to take a quick break here. The producer's waving at me for a commercial, and then we will be right back with you on our fascinating conversation on high ticket sales today. And we're back from a commercial, and we're ready to dig into the conversation with Jennifer Deepstratton here on the 3 keys to double your fees and fill your business with high quality clients. Boy, that's a big statement. What are you going to say to live up to that, Jennifer?
Depends on what you ask me, Doug.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit. Nobody likes to raise their fees.
They don't?
Nobody likes it. People are scared to death, you know? I mean, if it's a new client, a new prospect, I'm sure they aren't willing to pay a lot of money because they don't know how great I am. If it's an existing client, I'm scared to death to raise the fee because, guy, I've had them for so long and they're used to this. How can I possibly raise it? So what am I doing wrong here?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you for that. So really, to raise your fees, the first thing to notice is all of the reasons why you wouldn't. And what I like to teach my clients is that two things have to happen if you want to sell your services for more money. The first one is you have to believe it's worth it. Like, you have to believe it's worth it. And a lot of people will say to me, well, Jennifer, I really believe that my stuff is worth it at a higher price point, but like you just said, Doug, the new people don't know me well enough to pay me, or I'm not going to be able to find people who can afford it. And the funny thing about it is when you really align with the value and really get the life-changing difference that your service is making, or the company-changing difference that your service makes, then and really stand firm in that, people who resonate with that same value will appear out of the woodwork.
Okay.
Yeah. So part of it, one half of the equation is your own belief and knowing and trusting that you'll be able to find the people, because let's face it, there is a lot of money out there. There are trillions of dollars floating around. My question is always, how do I get some of it to rain on me?
Yeah, they're spending it on other things. I mean, look at all those Range Rovers driving down the street when
exactly.
They should be paying higher coaching fees.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was at Santa Barbara earlier in the week and at Bacara at the resort there. And
okay.
They had, the valet parking.
Yeah.
It was like a car lot, a new car lot with the Mercedes and then the Bentley and then the Audi. You know, there is plenty of money. So how do you get it to rain on you? So part of it's the belief. And then the second half is you have to communicate the value to the other person so they get it. So they get it and they want to pay for it. Obviously, you can't just sit around believing it and know that and people buy it. It doesn't work that way.
Oh, gosh, you're going to make me work for it. Well, you know, I think one of the biggest obstacles in coaching to setting fees appropriate with the value you deliver is the conversations that coaches have with each other about what they charge. So they now set their fee based on what they hear everybody else is charging. But they don't have any conversation as to the other with the other coaches as to what they're delivering.
Ooh, yes, this is true. Well, and that's so important. And I think, like, my customers, they know probably that they don't value their services as highly as they should. And so talking to their friends about what they charge, it's like a zero-sum game. It's not good for anybody.
Right.
You need to start having conversations with people who get your value at a higher level and can show it to you.
I believe... I love this. You know, I think feel like I'm in church. It's the I believe service. I'll stand up and raise my hand and say, I believe I'm worth more. So what is the trick to communicating that to someone in coaching, let's say, who really is having, maybe doesn't have a lot of experience with a coach, so they're not even too sure what you're going to deliver?
Yeah. So knowing what are your words is really important. And there's a lot of coaches. There's a lot of financial planners. There's a lot of insurance people, right? There are literally thousands of people who do what you do. But what I really see over and over again with all the people that I've worked with is that nobody does what you do the way you do it. So can I share a story about like how to do this?
Love stories.
So the best way I can describe this is through an analogy. So I have three sons. I've got a 14-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 2-year-old.
Okay.
So I want you to imagine that my living room is full of toys, which it is. And I'm going to take all these toys and have a garage sale. So I cart all the toys out. I stick them on my driveway. And I look at the pile of toys and I think, I don't know. I'm going to have a garage sale. What should I charge? $200. And that's your current pricing. So whatever is your current pricing, in my story, it's the $200. Okay. It's a pile of toys, right? So now I do something that I call my quantum benefits process. And it's the very first process I do with all of my clients. And I look at the pile of toys and I think, what's in my pile of toys? And I notice that there's Legos. So I start to pull the Legos out and I put them in a pile. And then I look at my pile of toys and I see dinosaurs. So I start to pull out the dinosaurs and the rocks and the trees, all the stuff to make a dinosaur scene. Then I look at my pile and I see Hot Wheels cars and Hot Wheels tracks. And I pull those out and I start to make a pile of Hot Wheels stuff.
Do you have any spinners in there? Because that's the big thing right now.
Yeah, we have spinners. Yeah. We do. So I keep going through this process until suddenly I've got 5 piles of stuff. And now I look back at my pile of Legos and I think, how much of this is this pile of Legos worth all by itself? I think about how every Wednesday night we have family night and how the boys all build things and then the baby comes in and tries to wreck it all and how much fun we have and, you know, what kind of value that this would bring to the ideal buyer, the person who would love to have this pile of Legos. And I realize, you know, this pile of Legos all by itself is probably worth $200. This pile of dinosaurs, what about that? Oh, that's probably worth $200. The Hot Wheels cars and the Hot Wheels tracks, $200. So I go around to each pile and I see that really I've got 5 piles, each worth $200. So what did I not do? What I want you to notice is that I did not build anything. I didn't add anything. I didn't give any free coaching sessions away. I didn't even print out the instruction manual. What I did was I recognized what was unique and specific and highly attractive about each thing in my original pile. So I'm not saying that you should take your service and break it up into 5 different programs and price them and sell them individually. That's not the direction we want to go. It's not about breaking what you do up into individual pieces and selling them one by one.
Right.
It's about taking that big service that you deliver, the big transformation or the big result, the big outcome, and recognizing that there's actually four or five really special, unique, specific, attractive things that you do. Not one, but that one service you're doing is actually got four or five, what I call quantum benefits. And the reason it's called quantum and not just regular benefits, it's quantum benefits, is because just one of those things is worth the entire price of admission, the entire price of your program all by itself.
I love that example. And I love the fact that you're sort of deconstructing the value proposition. And in my mind, as you were talking about that, I was sort of going, some people would place a high value on the Legos and not much of a value on the dinosaurs. And so by defining what I'm talking about, which pile I'm trying to sell you, I'm able to charge a higher fee than if you had to take the junk you don't want along with it. Is that close?
Well said. And that's actually why we construct the sales conversations the way that we do. Because if you're good at this and you ask a lot of questions, a lot of the right questions in the beginning, then you know which aspect of your pile to focus on when you're making your offer.
And you know, I love your analogy. I really have to confess that my wife has held a number of garage sales. I will say my wife has, because I refuse to get involved because it's all junk that's out there. What are you going to do with that pile of junk? We're wasting a whole day sitting here. We have to get up early. I go put up the signs. And then at the end of the day, she says, you want to guess how much I made? And I'm always way, way short because she stacked them on separate piles and separate tables. And the people come and see what they want, not the garage full of junk that I see.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other part that is resonating with me is that when we talk about coaching services, especially to most people, I don't know exactly what you mean by coaching services. But when you break it down to, do I want dinosaurs or Legos? Okay, now I can understand it better and I may be going to assign a greater value. Is that?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a real life example if
okay.
I can. I had a client who came to me. Her name is Kristen, and when I met her, she was teaching a fitness boot camp, and she was charging $119 a month, and people would come every week to work out with her.
Okay,
outside, it was like a group fitness class, and she had a pretty decent business. The problem was that she had over 10 years of nutrition and high level fitness training, and she wanted to charge, other people laughed at her. I didn't laugh at her, but she said, I want to charge $7,000 and do 6 months of private coaching for $7,000. And she said to me, I don't think my $119 boot campers are the people that will buy that. So what do I do? And how do I make that leap? Because going from 119 to 7,000 just seemed crazy.
Now that's a fee increase. Okay.
Yeah. That was a jump, right? And so what we did is we did this quantum benefits process with her. And the first thing that we noticed in this process is that one of the things she knows how to do is she knows how to test if a particular exercise is good for you or bad for you.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she wasn't able to do that in the group boot camp setting. And I said, well, who do you think would buy that? And she said, well, there are certain people who come to my class and they're not really getting stronger and more fit. They're kind of staying the same or even getting weaker. And she said, but the problem is they're not particularly overweight. They're not particularly sick. They just don't seem like very good candidates. And so you can kind of get from like a superficial sort of standard marketing look at her business. Her people were 40-year-old mothers. They were maybe 10 pounds overweight. They weren't particularly ill. So they don't look like they have enough quote unquote pain to be a good target market. Right? So
we must have pain to buy.
Right? Right. So most marketers say, don't even go there. It's not worth it. But as we dug in deeper, what we noticed is that these women were coming for 2 or 3 years every single week. And so I said, do you think that they might be interested in knowing if a particular exercise they were doing was good for them and making them stronger, or if it was bad for them and making them weaker? And she said, I think they might. And so she went to her boot camp population. She picked out the women that weren't really progressing. And she said, how's it going in boot camp? And they said, it's okay. Not so good. And she said, great.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, And she would ask some questions, and then she said, you know that I actually have this particular test that I can do to tell you whether or not a particular exercise is making you stronger and fitter, or whether it's really not that good for you. Would you be interested? And of course they were over the moon. They were so excited. And so can you see how for somebody that had been going for 2 or 3 years every week, not making progress, how just knowing that one thing of whether a particular exercise was going to be good for them or bad for them could be worth the entire price of admission.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's, and actually now her entire business is, she's up to $9,500 for her 6-month program. And she works privately with people, and she loves it because she actually works out virtually on Skype, which is exactly the life she wants, because she loves to travel all over. And so she hated having to be back every week to teach her bootcamp.
Sure.
So she's designed the life that she wants and has these high-end clients.
Okay, wonderful. Now, we talked about fees, but we didn't, unless I missed it, we didn't really nail down how do I raise the fee with an existing client.
Yeah.
Is it the same deconstruct process that you took us through with the garage sale, or?
I mean, that's the foundation of it. And there's ways to have that conversation with existing clients. You have to know what is the next thing that they need. So in order to raise the fee, you've got to kind of put an end time to their work with you and say, all right, we've been working on this piece of your business. So this would be for you, perhaps, because I know that you're doing all of this amazing stuff with helping companies grow by aligning the individual goals with the business goals.
Correct.
So you might say something like, hey, now we've worked on these individual goals and the business goals, and now you see what they are. Phase two of our work will be the actual implementation and fine tuning. And so just by saying that, it says that there's an end to the first phase. And when there's the end to the first phase, guess what? You can introduce the second phase at a higher fee.
Okay. I like where you're going with this. So rather than saying time for a cost of living increase, just because I need more money, you've been paying me this, but my costs have gone up, so you should pay me more, which cost of living increases, even if they agree to it, is really relatively minor. You're saying I'm not raising the price of what we're doing, but I'm going to add something different, and that comes at an additional fee or a higher fee or however I want to structure it.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent advice. Excellent advice. Anything more on fees?
Well, you know, I talk about this for a year with my clients, but that'll get us started.
Okay. Well, let me ask you another question then. What's the key to having high quality clients and, you know, raving fans? I mean, I always almost hate to say that. I can't refer to my clients as raving fans.
Yeah, and this is actually one of the things that's in my book, is I talk about how to turn your clients into raving fans, and even turn the people who say no to your offer into raving fans. I actually get referrals from people who don't take my offer on occasion.
Wow.
And the key to this is having a real relationship that we alluded to in the beginning. And it starts with that very first conversation. If you're doing a sales consultation or a strategy session with them, you have to have a conversation where they get that you are authentically more interested in their success than getting a sale.
Okay.
So you have to put your own personal needs aside for the time that you're talking to them, so that you can genuinely look to see, is this person a good fit for what I offer? And if they are, I'm going to make an offer. And if they're not, I am not going to make an offer. I don't want every client. I want the right clients.
So is this sort of in line with the spin selling book by Rackman that says you've got to identify what the client or what the prospect's need is before you start telling them what your service is? Otherwise, you're selling features and benefits.
Well, for sure, you have to know that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I've been through spin selling. It's different. Yeah,
you kind of frowned when I said that. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
lay me out.
Well, I think at the heart of every good sales process, you have to ask questions.
Yes.
You have to know what it is that the person cares about. Otherwise, how are you going to know what to offer? I mean, it's crazy. If you don't want to be pushy, I mean, this is what gives sales a bad name, right? Is you start spewing your offer onto people who have no interest and you didn't even ask. It's quite presumptuous of us, right? To say, hey, you need this, when you don't know the first thing about somebody. So everybody quit doing that.
Like that, we've changed the world.
Okay, gone. So, yeah, so you have to ask questions. So that's the first part of spin, is understanding, you know, the situation, the problem, you know, all of the, you know, the things about asking questions. I think what's special about my process and what I teach is that you really want to recognize when you are getting attached to getting the sale because you just want to get the sale, or maybe you've got a bill to pay, or, you know, you want to win an award, as opposed to really serving people at the highest level, making it a win-win all the time, even if that means that this particular sale doesn't happen.
For years, had a difficult time with sales. I just froze up. I didn't become me the minute it was a sales appointment. Until I was asked to go along with someone, a partner of mine, because he said, you know, you've been doing this longer than I have. Would you come along and just support my sales call? I said, what does that mean? He said, tell stories like you always do about what we're offering. And all of a sudden, it clicked that I was there to help the prospect. What we had to offer could help you. And the minute in my brain that it refocused onto helping rather than selling, it became a fun conversation.
Exactly.
It became a fun, and that's, you know, help, serve, I don't care what term you use, it's sort of the same concept, isn't it?
Absolutely. And if you have, no matter what business you're in, whether you're an entrepreneur or small business, medium, large business, service, products, I mean, I think there are a few people out there that just want to get the sale no matter what it is or who
sure.
It's to. But I think for the majority of the world, for us, we really want the right customers. And so how can you serve if you don't know who the person is? And how can you provide the right solution? And how can you take money if it's not going to really serve them? You just can't, you know? And if you can stand by that, then you're going to have a really solid company.
And that relates to raving fans how?
Right, is because if you're willing to say, you know what, Mr. Customer, I'd love to spend your $50,000, but I don't have anything that will help you right now based on what I understand of your needs. You know, why don't you call me back next year when I have some new products? If you're truly willing to say that, probably my old manager would like go crazy that I said this, but but if you're really truly willing to say that, then people actually really trust you.
Okay.
And that's the trust that forms the foundation of a relationship.
You've mentioned the term strategic session.
Uh-huh, strategy session.
Strategy session. What do you mean by a strategy session?
Yeah, so one of the things that's popular in the coaching industry is to do something called a strategy session or a discovery session. And, you know, it's another way of saying the words sales consultation, except that with leaving the word sales out of the conversation, or out of the name,
yes,
you can start to see that it's not really about selling, though a sale may happen. It's really about seeing if and how I can help you. I'm having a conversation with you to see if we're a fit and we'll move forward if I am to help you with what you need.
Okay. I've been doing strategy sessions and didn't know it.
Right. You probably have. Yeah.
Frequently when I get a new client and they express an interest, sounds like it's going to be a good fit, but they're not too sure what they need, and they go, well, can you help me? And I go, I don't know if I can help you, so let me come in and interview you and your team, and then I'll come back and tell you whether I think there's anything for me to help you with.
Beautiful.
Strategy session.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I like your term better than mine, though. Good. All right. How do you become a leader in your industry and grow a top-notch sales team? Everybody's goal.
Yeah. So what I've noticed is that you want to become a CEO who can have a rock star sales team. And it starts with having a sales process that's actually systematized. How well you train your salespeople and being able to give them the words to communicate why your company is better, why your brand is better, why you serve people is so important. The salespeople will not figure it out on their own. And if you want to grow, you've got to have the same communication throughout the whole organization.
So we're talking about a memorized pitch that everybody gets?
Certain aspects of it will be memorized, though, you know, in the end, the individual will, you know, have their version of it. But there are certain things that you want to have as common threads throughout everyone's communication.
Okay. But I'm sure from what you said earlier is that while I may have a company list of things I need to cover, that I need to personally develop a relationship, an interest level in the prospect, and get to know them.
That would be good.
Well, I mean, you know, there's some people that you know, you give them a sales a piece of paper and it says, this is our sales, what we want to offer, and they go out and read it.
Yeah, and I think that's fine. I mean, I specialize in high ticket selling.
Yeah.
Where you are the price setter in your industry. You're not selling at the same level as everyone else. So if you want to set yourself above the crowd, if you want to be able to sell for 20% more than your nearest competitor, you've got to get that much better at having these conversations. And that's where the edge really matters, being able to have that conversation.
You answered my other question. So high ticket doesn't mean it's $1 million. High ticket means you're above the crowd.
Right.
When you think about that high ticket sales, you know, is it more difficult to make the high ticket sale than to sell the average price?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
And why?
This is what I tell my clients, is that it takes the same amount of energy and effort to have a $500 client as a $5,000 client. Generally speaking, actually, the $5,000 client is going to be a better client because they're more committed, they take more action, they often get better results. The difference, however, is that if you're going to sell $5,000 versus $500, you have to be that much better at communicating why it's worth the value. So the service doesn't have to change, but your communication effectiveness has to, and most people don't take the time to get that much better at communicating.
Okay, now help destroy this myth for me. I'm going to go back to your example of the workout coach, and she's looking at this crowd of people that are buying her service for $129 a month, whatever the number was, and making the distinction that these people wouldn't pay $7,000 for anything because they're $120 a month people. How do you, I'm assuming that's not correct. How do you avoid that mistake? How do you determine the ability of the person to appreciate the value you want to put on the service?
Yeah, I mean, that moves into the objections that people get, like, I don't have the money.
Sure.
And the first thing to notice is that I don't have the money is almost never true. Because Don't you go and find the money for the stuff you really want to have? You do.
Yeah, they're out right? there. You know, I can't buy your thing, but let me go get my Range Rover.
Right, let me go get my $5 cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, is to notice that line of thinking is really a myth. It's really, if they say, I don't have the money, it's, you haven't communicated the value to me why I should part with my money and give it to you.
Okay. So what level of screening, or how much do you try in a sales conversation to screen out the person who really can't afford your product? Or do you let them self-screen?
I try to let them self-screen. Like, I really only want to talk to people after they've been through my whole marketing funnel and really have absorbed what I'm teaching. I like that because it saves me a lot of time. I don't want to have a lot of conversations with people who aren't a fit. So I try to do my best to represent my brand and my offer and my, you know, what makes me so special right at the front. And if they listen to a couple interviews like this one and watch a couple of videos, by the time they've done that, they're going to be pretty clear that I'm their person. They're willing to pay more money for it.
Okay. So you really don't make cold sales. By the time they've gone through your marketing funnel, they're not cold anymore. They're at least lukewarm.
You know, it's always a bad thing when you get on the phone with someone and they say, what is your name again? You want to avoid that.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit. Talk about a marketing funnel. What's involved in creating a marketing funnel? Okay, let's say I'm new to coaching. What should I have as a marketing funnel?
Oh my goodness. Well, there's online and offline methods.
Okay.
I think for most people, you should probably start offline. You know, go to your local networking event. I was actually at one earlier today. And it starts with knowing your quantum benefits. And then how do you turn your most exciting and juicy quantum benefit into a 30-second pitch so that if somebody hears it, they're intrigued, and the chances are that they're the right person to be intrigued is pretty high. And then you want to know what's the next conversation. The next one that you're going to have is probably a 5-minute conversation. And then the next one after that is probably a 30-minute conversation. And then eventually, if it's a fit, you'll have a whole strategy session or sales consultation. So it's knowing which pieces of your marketing language to put earlier in the relationship versus later.
Before we end, I want to make sure, tell us a little bit about the programs that you offer.
Mm-hmm. So I do an 8-week virtual training. It's a sales mentorship. So we actually do your quantum benefits.
Okay.
And then I teach you how to have a sales conversation. Ask the really great questions so people sell themselves into your service. I teach you how to ask for money. It's an 8-week virtual training. You can do it from anywhere in the world. We meet on a video conference. I also do a private individual coaching. So okay. Higher end clients that want to, you know, they don't want to be in a class. They just want me to do the work with them. And then I also do some corporate training for small and medium-sized businesses.
All right. Wonderful. Well, look, before we wrap up, is there anything else you wanted to talk about today that I didn't give you a chance to mention yet?
I just want to say that sales is a learnable skill. It's absolutely learnable. So if you get stumped on it, it's not like hopeless. It's not a hopeless thing. It's actually something you can train and learn, just like learning how to, you know, run a marathon. You know, you don't just jump up and say, I'm running a marathon. Each day you take small actions, and then you suddenly know how to do it, and you have the confidence. Same thing with selling high ticket.
So anybody can learn it?
Absolutely.
Okay, if they use you.
Right. Or some other good teacher. I just want you to work with me because I know I'll help you.
Okay. So one last time, how do people get a hold of you and your book offer?
Yeah. So download my free book. It's called The High Ticket Selling Revolution, and the URL is highticketsellingbook.com, and that's H-I-G-H, highticketsellingbook.com. Or you can find me on Facebook. My Facebook page is High Ticket Sales.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Jennifer, thank you very much for making the long drive up here to be with us in the studio. It has been very educational for me. I wish I'd asked you to come an hour early so I could have got more free sales consultation from you. It's definitely beneficial. So, I just want to welcome you to the Coaching Perspective radio show community.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, look, if you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. Be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. Speaking of guests, we're scheduling guests right now. So if you'd like to be on the show, just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or on the website, there's a place to indicate that you want to be on the newsletter or that you want to be on the show. Also, I'm a master certified coach by the International Coach Federation. I've been coaching leaders and their teams for 21 years, helping them to clarify their objectives and reach their goals. And if you want to know more about my coaching, same answer. Go to the website, thecoachingperspective.com. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again next week. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller.